Wari abandoned Serubaul in about 800 AD, ceremoniously burning its buildings and smashing pottery. The retreat was part of a general fall, soon followed by Tiwanaku. Both declines have been laid to drought, but this is contested. The Wari had already survived drought. As for Tiwanaku, Vranich said, how much would drought matter to Disneyland? Its ability to retain its audience would be far more important. The successors to both Wari and Tiwanaku combined the former's organizational skills and the latter's sense of design and razzle-dazzle. First came Chimor, then the greatest empire ever seen in Peru. Spread at its greatest extent over 700 miles of the coastline, Chimor was an ambitious state that grew maize and cotton by irrigating almost 50,000 acres around the Moche River. All of modern Peru only reached that figure in 1960. A destructive El Niño episode in about 1100 AD made irrigation impossible for a while. In response, the government forced gangs of captive laborers to build a 53-mile masonry-lined canal to channel water from the Chicama River in the next valley to the north to farmland in the Moche Valley. The canal was a flop. Some parts ran uphill, apparently because of incompetent engineering, and the rest lost 9/10 of its water to evaporation and seepage. Some archaeologists believe that the canal was never meant to function. It was a PR exercise, they say, a Potemkin demonstration by the Chimor government that it was actively fighting El Niño. When the bad weather ended, Chimor looked outside its borders. Armies went out and returned victorious to Chan Chan, the Chimor capital, a seaside metropolis with a dense center that covered 4 square miles. Dominated by 9 high-walled imperial palace tombs and 5 cathedral-like ceremonial complexes, the city was both exemplary in its grandeur and oddly empty because its streets were restricted to the elite. Commoners were barred, except for a few specialized technicians and craft workers. Each palace was hundreds of feet on a side, and many were 3 stories tall. They were filled with storage space. Living quarters were almost an afterthought. Their great beams adorned with splendidly worked gold and silver, the huge structures were jammed together around the center of town like people huddling in the shelter of an awning. Chan Chan suffered a palace surfeit because dead rulers were regarded as divine figures. As with the Inca, the king's mummified bodies continued to live opulently in their own homes and could not be displaced. Indeed, the mummies were necessary presences at important state occasions. As a result, each new ruler had to build his own palace and acquire the riches necessary to maintain it till the end of time. The system almost guaranteed imperial ambitions and exuberant construction plans.